Hey, so the Gemara had mentioned yesterday, we had a discussion in the Mishnah where there's a Makom Shinagu Lasos Simalacha B'Tishbav, Makom Shinagu Shelo Lasos, and the Mishnah had said, B'chol Makom Tamid Chachamim B'Teilim Tamid Chachamim should not work on Tishbav regardless of where he lives. And then Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer Li Olam Yasa Adam Asma Tamid Chachamim, a person should always make himself out to be a Tamid Chachamim, even though he may not really be a Tamid Chachamim. So Gemara points out, there seems to be a contradiction in his position. Can a person present himself as a Tamid Chachamim? Is that considered Yuhura? Is that some level of gaiva to do so? So the fact that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel allows a person to give the impression to the Tamid Chachamim and to be Batel, so Gemara says two lines down in Nunhei here, L'meimer, is this to suggest that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Savar lo chayshin en liyura? He's not concerned with gaiva. One can put himself out there to be a Tamid Chachamim. Rabbanan Savre, chayshin en liyura, Rabbanan of the Mishnah, who say that the person cannot make himself to be a Tamid Chachamim. If he is, great. If he's not, he's not. But you can't pretend to be so. Otherwise, that's considered Yuhura. We learned a different position in the Mishnah in Maseches Brachos. The Tanan Chosan im Yirta Likros Kriyashma Laila Harishon. Correct. So it comes to the first night, the person gets married. So the Tanakhama says, even though normally we assume the Chosan does not have the proper Kavana, but the Tanakhama says, the Chacham hold, that if he wants to read Shema, he's allowed to. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer Lo Kolarotza Litolas Hashem Yitol. Not anybody who wants to say that he's able to have kavana the first night of the wedding is he able to do so. Who does the person think he is? The chassan thinks he's such a baal gaiv he could have such a kavana. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan Muchlefes Hashita. Let's switch them around, whereby they'll be consistent. Where one of them will switch around either this Mishnah here or the Mishnah in Maseches Brachos, and this way Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Chacham will both be Lishitasim. But then comes along Rav Sheisha, Breder of Idi, Amar, Lo Tepach, there's no need to switch things around. Both instances are different. The different cases, the case of Kriyashma versus the case of working on Tisha B'Av, he says, Lo Tepach, Dirabanan Adirabanan Lo Kasha, Hacha here, Kevin de Chuliyama of Dimlacha V'Iu, Lo Avid Mechse Kiyura. If he's in a place where everybody's working, and this guy's sitting back and he's not doing work, that he sticks out, and that's Yura, that's Gaiva. Aval Hasim over there, when it comes to Shema, Kevin the Chuliyama Kari, everybody's saying Shema, it's Ma'arif time, everyone's saying it. Ve'i Hunami Kari, and he's also reciting it, Lo Mechzikira. He's not doing anything different from everyone around him, so it doesn't stick out, and that's why it's acceptable. So Chacham say it depends on the context. Now the same thing, we can have a different chilik within the world of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Adam Shimon Gamliel, Lo Kasha, because Hasim over there by the Chasim saying Shema, Hu Dabein and Kavana, he needs Kavana, Kavana and Sadi, Lo Matzi Kavana, Daita Mechzikira. So we know that a person, the first night of the wedding, can't have kavana. Now this chassan thinks he's such a great person, he's got such kavana, and he's different than every other chassan, so that's why it's called Yuhura. Aval Hacha here, even though when it comes to Tisha B'Av, nobody's working, and everybody's working, and he's not, Hacha, lo mechzik Yuhura, just because he's sitting back and not working, it's not because he's about gaiva, because he's a Talmud Chacham, army people are going to say, Malacha hu delesla, he's got no malacha to do, he's got no job today, he's whatever, he has no work to do. Poke Chazi, go out and look. Kama Batlana Ika Beshuka. There are many people who have no jobs. So just because a guy's not working on Tishbav doesn't mean he's a Ba'gaifa and thinks he's Dam Chacham. It could simply be because he has nothing to do. So that's the different opinions between Shema and Tishbav. Halach Lamaisa had to be assumed when it comes to Chasan the night of Kriyashma. So the Ramam thinks that a Chasan should not say Shema the night of Kriyashma, the night of the wedding. While most other Yishrim hold that Bizman Zen, nobody has Kavana. A regular person has no Kavana. So there's no difference a guy the night of his wedding versus a guy the rest of his life. There's no Kavana anyways, and therefore there's no issue of a Chasan actually reciting Kriyashma. So now the Mishnah begins. We going back to the first Mishnah of the Perek. We had the discussion about Makom Shinagu to do work on Erev Pesach or not. This Mishnah is really a continuation. The Mishnah here says, Chachamim Omrim, B'Yehuda, Hayu Osin Malacha Bari Pesachim Ad Chatzos. In Yehuda, they would actually do Malacha until Chatzos, on Erev Pesach, U'B'Galil, Lo Hayu Osin Kol Iker. They wouldn't do any work in Galil, nothing at all. Now, when it comes to nighttime, this is Machlokas HaLayla, what about Leil Yudal, the night of Yudalim? B'Shamay Osin, U'B'Sil Matirin Ad HaNesachama. So Beis Shammai says, Usher, even the night of Yudalid, and Beis Hillel hold that you're allowed to do work until the Netzachama, in which case it's Usher at that point. So the few new things that are introduced here in the Mishnah that we weren't introduced to earlier, number one is, it seems to use a Lashon of Osrin. Up until this point we learned it was a Minog, now we're calling Osrin. And the second new element is whether there's a Isra Malach at nighttime or not. So the Gemara says, Meikara Tana Minhaga. Initially this Mishnah and the Mishnah in the beginning of the Perek use the Lashon Minhaga. It's depending on the minhag makom. However, the Vasof, in the end, this particular Mishnah, Tana Isur, it talks about an Isur. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan lo kasha, there is no contradiction. It's two different people. Ha Rabbi Meir, ha Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanya. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, be Yehuda, in the area of Yehuda, hayu osin melacha bari psachim ad chatzos. They would do melacha until chatzos. That was in the area of Yehuda. Ubegalil, eino osin kolikar. They wouldn't do anything at all. And Amar lo Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir responds, Ma raya Yehuda vegalil lakan. What's the proof of Yehuda and Galil to hear? Ela makum shenagu laasos, melacha, osin. Makum shenagu shlo laasos, ein osin. There's nothing to do. It depends on what city you live in, what the minhag is. Now the fact that Rabbi Meir is responding about minhagim, is tali on minhagim, that implies, the Gemara says, midikama Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir rather, minhaga, mechlad Rabbi Yehuda isur kamar. So the implication from this brisa is that Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda argue about whether there's an isser or whether it's a minhag, and that's the machlokis here as well, that even though the Mishnah earlier taught us it's tali on a minhag, and this Mishnah tells us it's tali on isser, it's a machlokis tanaim. So how do we understand that? So the Meiri holds there's mamish and machlokis, whether malacha is mamish asser or it's a minhag. The Rambam says, no, everybody agrees it's really a minhag. When the Mishnah here used the language of osin, it means that the minhag was so strong, they took it upon themselves as an isser, but really it's a be'ikah, it's really a minhag. That's not such a machlok, because the question is, well, how prevalent the minhag was, whether we call it like osin or not. But either way, we see that the Mishnahs have two different perspectives of this being a minhag or being being an isser. Now, there are a number of nafkaminas whether or not the malacha, Erev Pesach, isser malacha, is a minhag, or it's an isser. Let's say you have a new city, they built a new city, so what do they have to do? Do they say there's an isser at Pesach in our city? Well, if it's Iker Din Asr, then you have to take upon the isser. If it's Tali on a minhag, they could actually establish their own new minhag. So that's one nafkamina they point out. Another nafkamina Tosis Rich says, let's say a person violates malacha, he does malacha on Erev Pesach, would we place him in Nidui? Well, if it's a Isser Malacha, Mikra Din, we'd place him in Nidui, like anyone else who would do an Isser on Chol HaMoed or Yantif or Shabbos, a very, very serious punishment. But if it's simply a Minog, then we would not place a person in a Nidui. And then the third Nafkamina that Rasha points out is whether a person could undo the Isser Malacha, undo the acceptance, the Kabbalah of the Isser Malacha. If it's a Minog, so a person is allowed to be Matir or Nether, a Minog is in essence, it's a Nether. You took upon yourself a nether to do something. So you could undo it based on Sheilas Chacham, based on Taras Nadarm. But if it's an Isser, Mikir Din, then there's no way out of it. It's an Isser, and there's no Taras Nadarm. It only exists if you have the minhag to do in the morning. It wouldn't make sense to have it at nighttime. Yeah.
It would make no sense, except for
Right, no, you do with B'dikas Chametz. It's only extension if you have during the daytime, then it could extend itself B'laila as well. So the Gemara now says two wide lines down. V'sava Rabbi Yehuda, Arba'as Ar Mutter Basias Malacha. Is it really true? Rabbi Yehuda said you're allowed to do Malacha on the 14th. V'atanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Hamenachesh B'shlosha Asar. A person wants to do some weeding. He weeds out the different, weeds growing between his grains to allow the grains to grow better. V'nekra b'yado, and he accidentally takes out some of the grain, some of the barley. So now he wants to replant it. Now the issue with replanting it is, because a few days from now, the Karban Omer is being brought. The Karban Omer is brought the second day of Pesach, the first day of Chol HaMoed Pesach in Eretz Yisrael. Now, the way the Karban Omer works is anything, any barley that's already taken root in the ground, so now the Karban Omer is matir, that barley which was once chadash, it's now yashan. Now, if it didn't take root beforehand, only took root afterwards, so then it's not matir. So now, says Rabbi Yehuda, if a person's menachesh b'shlosha asar, on the 13th of Nisan, v'nek Rabbi Yado, and he accidentally ripped up some barley, he could be shosla b'makum hatit, he could put it back in the area of the mud, because in the mud, Rashi explains, we'll see Rashi in a second, it actually takes root pretty quickly. V'ein shosla b'makum hagari, don't put it in a dry area, because it doesn't take root quickly enough, and it won't be mutter through the carbon omer. So look at Rashi for a second. Rashi says, Nekra biyado shibolas asma. You took up the barley itself. Nekra biyado shorshim in arutz. You ripped up the roots. Ubalach serve a little shosol. You want to replant it. Shosol b'makom hatit, says Rashi. Shetimahir lekalit kodem haomer. It will be very quick to take root before the korban omer is brought. Sheomer matir sa nishrashim. It permits all that which is taken root in the ground. Avahal nishrashim achar omer. That which only takes root after the korban omer is brought. Asur and Mishum Chadash Achi Yavo Omer Habatz. It's also until the following year. So that's a very, very big nafkamina, whether you could get it to take root before Omer, or you're stuck for a whole year till you're allowed to eat it. So that's the 8th of the Gemara. So now, what's the relevance to the 14th? So the Gemara is Medayik now. Bishlosha Sar in on the 13th of Nisan is when you're allowed to replant this barley. Bar Basar, lo, but you can't replant it on the 14th of Nisan to Michtei. Let's understand why not. Shma'in and Leil Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda in general, the Gemara's Rosh Hashanah and elsewhere tell us, Damar kol harkava she'eino koletes l'shlosh yamim shuv'eino koletes. That any root that doesn't take, any seed that doesn't take root in 3 days, won't take seed, take root rather. The way it works is a seed, when it breaks up and turns into roots, it takes 3 days. If it didn't happen in 3 days, it's not happening. So 3 days is the time it takes to take root. So he says further, now, if you were to think that Rabbi Yehuda holds our basar mutter basis melacha, so then the 14th you're allowed to, so I'll read this out, so I'll say it outside for a second. So then you have the 14th, the 16th is the day the carbon omer is brought. That's the 16th. So you have day 1 is 14, day 2 is 15, day 3 is 16. So by the 16th day, by the morning time, it starts taking, that's the third day. So shouldn't that be enough time for the carbon omer to matir that which was taking root? So why did he say put it on the 13th of Nisan? You could actually replant it even on the 14th of Nisan, especially if Rabbi Yehuda is the one who holds that you're allowed to do melacha the 14th. The fact that he doesn't suggest the 14th must tell us that you cannot do melacha on the 14th. So look inside the Gemara again. Now, v'isaka daitach arba'asar mutter basis melacha, if you were to think that the 14th of Nisan you are allowed to do melacha, according to Rabbi Yehuda, lamali l'shlosha, so why if they replant it only on the 13th and not beyond that? V'ha'ika, if you plant it on the 14th, you have the arba'asar, v'chamesar, u'miksas shitsar, and you have the partial of the 16th. Those are 3 days. We have miksas yom kikulo. Must be, Rabbi Yehuda says you can't do melacha on the 14th. So Gemara says no. Amarava, Begaldiel Shana, referring to Galil, where if you remember back in the Mishnah, the Mishnah is Begaldiel, they had the practice, Lohayu Osen Kolikr, they wouldn't do Melacha. I mean, Rabbi Yehuda himself says you're allowed to. But he agrees that the Minag in the Galil was not to do any work at all. So if you live in the Galil, that's where this Brisa was taught. In the Galil, you're not allowed to plant in the 14th, that's why you have to do on the 13th. But Einachanami, if you lived in an area where Melacha was allowed and accepted in the 14th, you could put it in the 14th, the 15th, and the 16th. So the Gemara says, okay, even in the Galil, where you can't plant it on the 14th day itself, v'ha'ika layla, but can you do it leil, arbasar, right? Replant it in the 14th and the night, and then you have the 14th, the 15th, the 16th. So why does he say only do it on the 13th? Why can't you do it on the 14th at nighttime? So the Gemara says, no, this goes like Amar of Sheshes, ki beishamai. Beishamai, if the Mishnah says, even by layla, you can't do melacha. So that's why you're stuck. It's in the Galil, and according to beishamai, so the 14th is off limits. But ein hachanami, if you lived, if you hold like beis hillel, or if you lived in an area that wasn't a Galil, you'd be able to plant even on the 14th. The Ravinas, Rav Ashi Amar, no, Liolim ke Beis Hillel. Really passing like Beis Hillel, that you're allowed to plant and do melacha at nighttime. The reason why Rabbi Yehuda didn't suggest planting at nighttime is Lefi She'ein Darchel Shabani Adam Lenachesh Belayla. Nobody weeds their property at nighttime. They didn't have lights like we had to going around with a little lantern through the barley fields. That wasn't a likely event. So since it wasn't a likely event, they were taking place Balayla, it must have been during the daytime. But if a guy were to do Menachesh Balayla, you could replant it Balayla as well, because we assume like Beis Hillel. And then finally the Gemara says, Ravina, Amar no. Liyolim be Yehuda. Forget the Yolkimta of the Galil. We're talking about in the area of Yehuda. And in the area of Yehuda, you're allowed to do Malacha at least until Chatzos. But still, nonetheless, you weren't allowed to replant it on the 14th. Yehuda said you're allowed to do melacha on the 14th. So why didn't he say you could replant the barley on the 14th? Because here, b'shrasha chan miksas yom kikulo aminim. When it comes to taking root, we only allow for 1 day that's miksas yom kikulo. But to allow for tre miksas yom kikulo lo aminim. But to allow 2 days, I mean, when are you planting on the 14th? You're planting not like the first, second of the 14th. You're planting 10 minutes into the 14th. That's not a full day. So you don't have a full day of the 14th, and by the 16th also, you bring the carbon omer in the morning. So you only have a little bit of the 14th day, a little bit of the 16th day, and the full day of the 15th day. That's two mixes yom kikulos. We never allow for two mixes yom kikulos. It's either at the end or at the beginning of mixes yom kikulo, but to have on both ends of mixes yom kikulo, that much we wouldn't say, and that's why the 14th is off limits only for this particular halacha. But Ein Hachanami in general, Rabbi Yehuda says one would be allowed, in fact, to do melacha on the 14th on Erev Pesach. Okay. Now, the Mishnah is getting a little bit more focused in. What particular melachas are aser and permitted on Erev Pesach, on the 14th? So the Mishnah says, Remeir Omer, kol melacha shehiskel ba kodem l'arba asar, gomra barba asar. Any melacha that already the process was started before the 14th, you could continue to do it on the 14th. Aval lo yaskel ba betchila barba asar. But you cannot start a new project on the 14th. You could finish a project, but you can't start a project. Let's say you could do a project. It's a very short project. You could start and finish it all in 1 day. That even that's usher. The only melacha that's allowed is one that started before Pesach, and you're allowed to complete it on Pesach. Gemara is going to elaborate on this point. And then the Mishnah says, Chacham Omrim, Shloshu Manios, Osim Lacha Bari Pesachim. There are three jobs, three industries that people are allowed to work on Erev Pesach because they're needed. Ve'elu Hein, Hachayatim, the tailors, Hasaparim, the barbers, Vakovsin, the launders. And we'll see the basis for this is Erev Pesach cannot be any more machmir than Chol HaMoed. It can't be. So we're going to see that there are three exceptions where on Chol HaMoed that these three industries, these three jobs, these professions are allowed to work on Chol HaMoed in some particular area. So if there's a heter on Chol HaMoed, there certainly would be a heter on Erev Pesach as well. So that the Gemara will explain. So those are three different umaniyos that are allowed on Erev Pesach. And Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda Omer Afratanim, even people who make leather, who make shoes, would be allowed as well. We'll see what that is based on in the Gemara. So now the Gemara wants to try to understand the first position of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir doesn't seem to limit it to any particular melacha, but any melacha that was started before Erev Pesach, you could complete the project on Erev Pesach. So now the Gemara is going to ask a bit of a tricky question. Well, the question isn't so tricky, but all the rais are a bit tricky here. The Gemara has a three-way shiloh here. E bailu. When Rabbi Meir allowed you to finish the project, letzorach ha-moed, tanan, was he referring to only that which was needed for the moed? You needed, I don't know, new shoes, you needed a new suit, you needed a new pot. Only letzorach moed is it allowed? About shalol letzorach moed, if it's not needed for the moed at all, afilu migmar namilo, you can't even complete a project if it's not needed for the moed. That's one side. Oh, duma, shalol letzorach moed, tanan. Maybe the mission is referring to if it was something that wasn't needed, you're allowed to complete it, Erev Pesach. Aval atzarach, but if something that's needed for Pesach, for Moed, aschule mischalin, you could even begin the process on Erev Pesach, that's the second tzad. And the third tzad is, oh Dilma, maybe, bein letzarach ha-Moed, bein shalol letzarach migmar in, aschule lo. Maybe there's no distinction of the purpose of the melacha, but you're only allowed to complete a project, regardless of why you're doing it, but you can't begin a project either way. So those are three different tzadim. Okay, be those we get. But we'll see it's a little bit tricky learning through the three or four rayas the Gemara has. So Tashma. Aval lo yaschil betchila bar basar. You cannot start a project on Erev Pesach. Afilu tziltzel katan v'afilu shivcha katan. Even a small little like bendel, Rashi says, a little belt or something that goes on the head, shavcha on the head, something a very small project. What do they call it?
Spacha.
So, spacha. I don't know any English translation of this.
Reshet katana. It's like a.
Something goes on the head. I don't know, a little crown or something. So I need a small, a little project that takes very little to do. And so my afilu, what does it mean, even a tziltzel katan, v'afilu svacha you can't do. My afilu, lav afilu hani diletzarach ha-moed, even though these are tzarach moed, the heter of making them to wear for chol moed is, or for yontif, is migmar in, you can only complete the project, but aschuli lo, you can't begin the process. So that's explaining that one side, that migmar, the mission is referring to letzarach moed. You could finish it, but you can't begin a process, even letzarach moed. Michlal, implying, if it's something that's d'shelo letzarach, if it's not needed for the moed at all, migmar nami lo gamrinu. You can't even complete the project if it's not needed for the moed. That's the first attempt at the b'raisa. The b'raisa says, lo, not true. Li'olam d'shelo letzarach migmar nami gamrinu. The truth is, you could even complete a project even if it's not necessary for the moed. Umay afilu, what does it mean afilu? Afilu hani nami, even these items, the zutri ninu, that they're so small, take very little time to start and to finish. It takes, let's say, a matter of 30 minutes, for example. So the sarka daita chamina, I would have thought, haschalasan zuhi gemar malachan, starting it is already finishing the project. So maybe this would be the heter that even starting should be allowed. Nischal behunami lechatchila. Kamash v'lam, that note, you can never start a project regardless of how long or how short it takes. You can't start any projects. But legabe finishing a project, you could complete a project even if it's bein letzarach moed, bein leshalal tzarach moed. So there's no real ride from this brisa because there are two ways to analyze this brisa. So now the Gemara says, okay, Tashma, Rabbi Meir Omer, kol melacha shi letzarach melacha, anything that's needed tzarach moed. So then you could be gomer, going on to beis. Now that you could complete bar basar. Amosai, when is that true? Bisman shehischilba kodem arbasa. If you started the project before the 14th, you're allowed to finish it. But again, only as it says letzarach hamoed is it allowed. Aval lo hischilba kodem arbasa, lo yaschilba barbasa. But if you didn't start the project before the 14th, you're not allowed to start it on the 14th. Afilu tziltzel katan v'afilu svacha katan. Even a small project cannot be started Erev Pesach. So now the Gemara is medayik. We said above the price to start off letzarach hamoed in only letzarach hamoed. But shalol letzarach ha-moed lo, you would not be allowed to. So the Gemara says, no, that's not a raya. Hu adin afilu shalol letzarach nami gamrin. Really? you're allowed to complete a project even if it's shelo tzarach hamoed. So what does it mean afilu? Hakamashmalan dafilu tzarach hamoed migmar in aschula. We're learning here that even now, which is the tzarach hamoed, you're only allowed to complete a project, but you cannot begin a project erev Pesach. There would have been a havinah to think that if it's needed for the moed, maybe you could even start the project erev Pesach for the purpose of the moed. And the answer is no. The tzarach moed is only allowed lagmure, but you're not allowed to aschule erev Pesach. And now the third and final raya, and this will conclude with this raya, tashma. Right, Meir Omer kol melacha shehi l'tzarach moed. Anything that's for the purpose of the moed, you could be gomre, you could complete the project bar basar, and if it's sheinu l'tzarach moed, aser, you're not allowed to. V'osim lacha bari psachim ad chatos mamakum shenagu in lo nagu lo. That's just the end of the mic. We could ignore that half of the brisa for right now, but it's clear from the beginning of the brisa that shma mina the tzarach hamoed in shelo tzarach hamoed lo shma mina. So Gemara is very clear that the only time you're allowed to complete a project is if it's l'tzarach hamoed. But if it's not l'tzarach hamoed, you're not allowed to complete the project, and that's how the Gemara concludes the shita of Rabbi Meir. And now the Gemara quotes from the Chachamim, Omer Mishlosh Umanios. There were three different jobs that can be done erev Pesach. That was the tailor, the barber, and the launder. Just an interesting question the posting talked about when it comes to a barber, even though a barber you can't really have after Chatzos, you can't cut your hair on erev Pesach, there's a shaila whether or not you're allowed to have a goy cut the hair for you on erev Pesach or not. That's a discussion machlokis in the poskim. Part of that issue is, when it comes to Amir L'Akam, normally if you ask a person about Amir L'Akam, they'll tell you, oh, Amir L'Akam is exclusive to Hilchos Shabbos, Hilchos Yom Tov. The truth is it applies to Hilchos Chol HaMoed as well. It applies outside even in Melacha. There's a Gemara in Bava Metzia that talks about a person wants to misaris, to neuter an animal, an Issur D'oraisa to neuter an animal. And even to appoint a goy would be also Asr. Nothing to do with Shvisas Melacha. It has to do with a completely different area. It's Ayde Goy is Asr. It's very Halacha Maisa. Now dogs have been very popular the past year. And they buy a dog, or someone asked me about a cat they bought the other day, and now that you bought it, how do you have it neutered? The answer is you really can't have it neutered, because it's also to have a goy neuter your animals for you. The way to do it properly is to buy one that's already neutered. Even a goy, by the way, is a derisa for them, according to some, to neuter an animal. If you bought one that's already been neutered, it's fine. But for you to buy one, so there are some heterim about selling it back, and maybe by the females might be more of a heter. But either way, Amir L'Akam applies across the board. So erev Pesach, if it's aser for a Jew to do a haircut, so Amir L'Akam would be aser as well, according to some poskim. Other poskim say, no, it's worse than that, actually. A haircut's different. Because it's something that Gemara talks about when comes to a haircut, there's misayeh b'davar. When you're sitting down there, you're helping adjust your head a little bit. You're being involved in melacha, not that you're pointing a goy to do something for you, to turn the lights on. You're actually adjusting your head and moving your head around to help it. That might be even worse. But other poskim say, no, erev Pesach is a much lower level than Chol HaMoed and other days of Melacha, and therefore there is room to allow a goy to give the haircut to a Jew. Either way, Gemara wants to know, how do we know that these three umanios are permitted on erev Pesach? So the Gemara quotes Tana, Hachayotim, the tailors, Shekein Hedyot, Tofer Kedarko, b'Chol HaMoed. If you have a regular homemade tailor, which means the guy's not a tailor, but he knows how to sew things, or she knows how to sew things, but not in a professional way at all, you're allowed to actually sew things on Chol HaMoed. So if Chol HaMoed, you're allowed to tailor in a Baal Bayis, a Hedyot can, so then we could use that as a het of erev Pesach, because erev Pesach can't be any more chamer than Chol HaMoed. Chol HaMoed is in Din D'oraisa, according to some it's Din D'rabbanan, but erev Pesach, we assume it's only a minhag. So minhag is definitely a lesser level than Issur Chol HaMoed. So if there's some heter on Chol HaMoed, there's got to be a heter on erev Pesach across the board that tailors could work erev Pesach. Hasaparim v'akuvsin, the barbers and the launderers, how we know they're allowed to work on erev Pesach? Shekein habam b'midis hayam, v'yotzi b'beis hasurim, a person who comes from overseas and he didn't have a chance to get a haircut or to launder his clothing, or a guy was in jail and finally was let released during Chol HaMoed. So there the Mishnah Moikatan says, Misaprin u'mechapsin b'chol shemoed. You could give him a haircut, and you could wash his clothing. So if there's a heter on Chol HaMoed, that means it could be a heter on erev Pesach as well. And so what about the fourth opinion? That Rabbi Yosef Bir Huda added a fourth industry, Omer Af Haratanim, even a shoemaker, a person who deals with leather, he thought that would be a fourth category that would be permitted on erev Pesach. So what's the basis? So he says, Af Haratanim, Shekein Oli Regalim, Misaknin Menalein, B'chol HaShemoed. that the people, when they travel to Har Bayis on the Shlosh Regalim, if they had their shoe tore, they would go to the leather guy, the shoemaker, and they'd fix it up. So if Chol HaMoed, there would be a heter. We said, once there's some heter, a little Pesach on Chol HaMoed, that means it's completely permitted on Erev Pesach. So since there's a opening allowed on Chol HaMoed, a guy who's traveling to the regel, to Har Bayis in the regel, he could fix it by the shoemaker. So that means Erev Pesach, the shoemaker could be open to fix the shoes. So why did the Chacham argue? Why do they say that they disagree and for Tzadim are not allowed? So the Gemara said, "B'mai kimithlugi, Mar Savar, l'meidim tchilas m'lacha, meisof m'lacha." One opinion, that's the opinion of Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, said you can learn the beginning of the malacha, the making of a shoe, can be learned from the end of the shoe. In other words, the heter of Oli Regalim was the sof malacha. It was fixing it at the end, fixing something that was already made. You're just fixing the shoe. But he said if the fixing is allowed at the end, then you're also allowed to make a shoe from the beginning. So he's learning the end to the beginning. But Mar Savar, according to Chacham, he said no, the two completely different types of work. Just because you're allowed to fix a shoe doesn't mean you can make a shoe from the beginning, and that's why Chacham felt the Ratzon cannot be open on Erev Pesach. Look at Tosfos for an interesting. Sorry?
Taylor would also be the same, but he can.
No, Taylor, you'd be able to make from scratch, even from the beginning, exactly. Yeah. So look at the Tosfos here, Oli Regalim. Tosfos writes, Oli Regalim, Misaknin Minalem, you're allowed to fix the shoes of people traveling to Har Bayis. Mehacha Mashman implies from here, Behedya, to Aser Lasakin Menalayim Bechal HaMoed, you're not allowed to fix shoes for on Chol HaMoed in general, De Lo Hetiru Ella Le'Oli Regalim Dafka, you're only allowed to, for the people going Oli Regalim, to do a mitzvah, but a Stam guy whose shoe breaks during Chol HaMoed, you're not allowed to have it fixed. And Ve'ein Lover, don't tell me the Davar Avidhu Shema Yikru Yosef, because you know, if it starts to break in the seam, if you don't fix it now, it might break entirely and ruin the shoe. Don't tell me it's Davar Avid. It's such a big deal. Because the Yachol Liknos Chadashim, go ahead and buy a new one. That's not called Davar Avid. You lose a few dollars in a brand new shoe. But that's not a heter to go ahead and have it fixed, unless it's for the tikkun of Oli Regalim. He felt there's no heter, and therefore, other than that, on Chol HaMoed, you cannot have the shoemaker open. Now, the rest of the daf here, most actually the half of the remaining part of the daf, is quite technical. If you know eggs, how eggs work, this will be helpful. I don't know how eggs work exactly, but it was looking around helped a little bit. It's not that challenging. But either way, the Mishnah tells us the following. Moshivin shovchin l'tarner golem v'yudalad. You're allowed to make a shovach of tarner golem on Erev Pesach. What does that mean exactly? So Rashi says here, all the way towards the top, two narrow lines down in Rashi, he says, Moshivin shovchin, kishinosin beitzim tachas tarnagolos lishamim, when you place the eggs underneath the hen, so that it should warm up the egg and it should fertilize it, so legadil efrochim, so the eggs should turn into little chicks, kari moshivin shovchin, that's called a moshivin shovchin. You place the eggs and the hens over it, that's a process of shovchin. Okay. So you're allowed to start the process on Erev Pesach, but you dalid, the Mishnah says. The tarnagolas shibarcha, if the tarnagolas starts to fly away or run away, machzirno, so you could bring it back in coma to put it back and sit on top of the egg to continue to fertilize it. Vim mesa, if that hen dies, moshivin acharis tachte, you could replace it with another tarnagolas, that's all fine. So the Gemara is going to ask the question, just to foreshadow a little bit, that if you're allowed to return the tarnagolas, certainly you're allowed to place it initially on the egg. So the Gemara is going to point out that the chiluk in just a moment. And then the Mishnah says, Gorfin metachas ragli behema b'yudalad. You're allowed to scrape all the waste of the animals in the cattle houses on the 14th. That's not considered too much tircha. Uvimoed and chalamoed, you can't schlep it out of the house, out of the barn, but mesalkin that's studim. So when it comes to Erev Pesach, you're allowed to actually take out the waste and just throw it to the garbage. Chalamoed, where it's a little more machmir, you can just scrape it over to the side, but you can't actually dump it outside to the garbage. And then the end of the Mishnah says that molichin kelim mevien mebeis ha'uman, a person is allowed to send the kelim, whether it's clothing or whether it's vessels, to the workshop, and he can bring them home as well on Erev Pesach. Af api sheinam tzarich lemoed, even though he doesn't need them for the moed. So these are three different points here in the Mishnah. The Gemara is going to analyze each one. First about the eggs. Second part about sweeping away the waste. And the third part is about bringing kelim back and forth to the beis ha'uman. So the Gemara first says regarding the eggs. Hashta osivi mosfinan ahadur mibay. If you're allowed to initially place the shofchin Erev Pesach, kavachomer, you're allowed to return it back, because otherwise it's a davar of it. The way it works is if the hen started to sit on the egg and it started to fertilize, and then midway you stopped it, that egg's ruined. I mean, the egg's either going to be eggs to cook and eat, or the eggs will turn into a chick. But if you start the process a little bit, and then you stopped, it's not going to be good, it won't be edible, nor will it turn into a chick, so it's stuck. So certainly, if you're allowed to start the process to put a tarnagolas on the egg, you're certainly allowed to return the tarnagolas when it runs away. So what's the chiddush here? So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye, Seifa asin the chalash amoid. The Seifa is referring to chal amoid. In other words, on Er Pesach, you're allowed to be masculine process. You could be moshivan on Er Pesach, but you cannot be moshivan on chal amoid. But on chal amoid, if the process already had begun, you're allowed to be machzirin. So the heter of chal amoid is only being machzirin, and the heter of moshivan is referring to Er Pesach. Just to make that clear, just take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, the first Rashi on the Gemara here, Seifa the Ketani Machzirin, when it says you're allowed to return it, but it sounds like you're not allowed to initiate it. B'chal shemoed kamar, b'hachi kamar. Moshivin shovchim b'yadal. You could create these, could start the process of the fertilization on the 14th. U'tarnagol shebarcha b'chal shemoed machzir noso mishim hefzid beitzim the davar ha'aved mutter. So that's the difference to Er Pesach versus Chal Moed. Again, Er Pesach, you could be maschil, and Chal Moed, you can be maschil, but Chal Moed, you are able to be machzir. So now the Gemara says further, comes along Amar Rav Huna. Rav Huna says, lo shanu ela toch shlosha limirda. So now let's just point two things out before reading the Gemara. The way the process worked was the chicken or the hen sat on top of the egg, and it sat for at least 3 days. Now once it sat for 3 days, so now it's already fertilized, and if you don't return it back, it's going to get ruined. It's not, you can't eat it anymore. There's no turning back after 3 days of fertilizing. Also, when the if the hen flew away for more than 3 days, it's been 3 days since it sat on the egg, it won't come back. It's almost impossible to get it to come back. But if it's within 3 days of it flew away, it will come back with not much effort. So again, 2 points. How long it sits on the egg is point one. Number two is how long it's been away from the egg. So it sounds a little confusing for the Gemara, but the Gemara is going to explain this now. So the Gemara says, again, Amar Rav Huna, lo shanu, this is only allowed to return the hen, lo shanu ella toch shlosha lemirda. If it's been within 3 days since it ran away, the kati lo parach simramine, the heat, literally, the warmth, the wool, didn't run away, that the hen will still be comfortable coming back to the egg. And that's point one, within 3 days of flying away. Number two is, v'achar shlosha lishivasa, also has to be where it sat on the egg for a period of 3 days, because if it doesn't come back, you'll lose the egg entirely. Because once it's been fertilized for 3 days, and it needs more days to complete the process, but if it doesn't come back, that egg is lost. You can't eat it, and it won't turn into a chick either. So those are two criteria for allowing one to return it back. Aval, if, however, la'achar shlosha lemirda, if the hen has not been sitting on the egg, it's been more than 3 days since it flew away, the parachlet simramine, that the heat, the warmth, the interest of it coming back is almost impossible, don't waste your time, because the hen will not, even if you grab the hen back, it will not sit in the egg, it's going to be extra tircha, so there's no heter in that case. And also, if it's toch shlosha l'shivasa, if the hen only sat for less than 3 days on the egg itself, the kati lo psedebeya lagamri, the egg isn't entirely lost, apparently, I don't know exactly how this works, but during the first 3 days, when the hen sits on the egg, it goes through some process here. So during that process, it doesn't entirely fertilize, but it's partially fertilized. So it's still somewhat edible. So some people will still eat it within the 3 days, even though I imagine maybe some blood might be in there, something other pieces. It may not look very pleasant for the hamun am, but some people would still eat it. So, one second. So the Gemara says, Dakati lo pseida beya lagamri. So since, even though it's if it sat on the egg for less than 3 days, it's not entirely lost. So lo majina, therefore you cannot return the hen because it could still, some people still eat it. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says here, afilu toch shlosha lishivasa, if it's within 3 days, where it sat less than 3 days on the egg, ho v'deshanu ktas, it changed a little bit. The egg changed a little bit. V'einan ruarin l'chol adam, it's not fit for every person to eat. Not everyone will eat such an egg if it's been sat on by the hen for a couple of days. Elamisha daita yafer veino istinus. Person doesn't care about whatever's floating around in the eggs at that point. Whatever happens to it, some people, there are a few people who would eat it. That's not called an entire loss. And since it's not an entire loss, and some people will buy such an egg, you're not allowed to return the hen. The only time, again, you're allowed to return the hen is when two things are in place. Number one is, it's been sitting on the egg for more than 3 days. Where if it doesn't come back, it's lost. You can't eat it, nor will it turn into a chick. Number two is, it has to be where it's within 3 days from when it flew away, because if it's more than 3 days, there's no way getting the hen to come back. But if it's missing either of those elements, then one would not be allowed to return the eggs back to the egg. No, no, no. Just of what's heter, what's edible or not edible.
Wouldn't it be like any egg that turns into a, that can turn into a
No, not into a blood right now. Talking about a person would eat the egg or not. Yeah. If there's blood inside, you could remove the. It may not be blood. I don't know what happens in the process. It could still be fertilized without there being blood. But it gets to a certain point where people, it gets disgusting, more dense. I don't know. So then the Gemara said, but my Kamifki, what's the machlokas here about whether or not you're allowed to, whether or not there's a pseda? Again, if the hen sat on the egg for a couple of days, not 3 days, but a couple of days, whether is that considered a hefseda or not a hefseda? So what's that machlokas? So I missed a line, I'm sorry here. Rebbe Ami Amar, afilu toch shlosha li shivasa mahadrin. He felt, even if the hen only sat on 2 days, not three, but 2 days, even then you could return it back because that is considered hefseid. Why is that considered hefseid? So machlokas is whether or not a small hefseid is considered a hefseid or not. Now, but you have this egg that was sat on for 2 days. So let's say 75% of people will not touch this egg, but 25% of people will eat the egg. So I could still have some people to sell to, maybe not a lot of customers, but some people will buy it. So it's not such a hefseid, just a little bit of hefseid. Is that considered a significant hefseid or not? So the Gemara says, but my kemiflugi, Mar Savar Lehefsid Meruba Chashashu, Lehefsid Mehuat Lo Chashashu. If there's a small Hefsid, it's not a big deal. So even though I have a smaller customers who will buy the eggs after 2 days, that's not a Hefsid. I have no heter to bring the hen back and just sell to the few customers I could sell to. But Mar Savar, according to Ami, Afilu Hefsid Mehuat Nami Chashashu, no. The fact that the egg is only sold to a smaller group of people now, that's considered a Hefsid. And Hefsid Mehuat is significant. And therefore, you are allowed to bring the hen back to continue the fertilization. There is an interesting discussion of poskim how one defines a hefsid muat. You know, some poskim say there's like 1/6 is what's considered hefsid muat. But I mentioned this the other night actually in the Hilchos Tzedakah here, that when it comes to hefsid, it all depends. It's very subjective. Each person, what's considered hefsid meruba is different for me than what's hefsid meruba for somebody else. So define different terms of hefsid muat to give an exact number is very, very hard to say. And it all depends on a particular person. Okay, let's finish off now the Gemara. The Gemara says, Garefes mitachas, that the Mishnah said you're allowed to scrape all the excrement, all the waste from the animal. You could scrape it out of the barn. So the Gemara says, Taner Rabbanan HaZevel, Shebechatzer, Mishalkanos HaLitzdadim. If it's Zevel that's in the courtyard, you could push it off to the side. Vishebarefes, Shebechatzer, Motinos HaLashba. But if it's in the refes, if it's in the cattle barn, and it's in the chatzer, you could take it outside. The Gemara says, wait a second, HaGufakasha. You just said in the beginning, Amis Zevel Shebechatzer, Mishalkanos HaLitzdadim. Then he said, if it's Tan Shibarefes, Shibachatzer, Motzi, Nasol, Ashba. Right, this Bryce said the word Chatzer twice. It said Chatzer in the Reisha, that if it's in the Chatzer, you can move it to the Tzadim. But then it said Chatzer again, the second time, the Chatzer, you could take it to the Ashba. So what's it done by Chatzer? So the Gemara says, the answer is, Amar Bai, Lokasha, Kan be Yudalad, Kan be Chel Shamoid. On Yudalad, if you look at Rashi, Rashi explains the difference here, that. Actually, it doesn't say. But on Yudal, where you're allowed to do more, you could take it out to the Ashba, because we're more heterim on Yudalad. But if it's in the Chalamoi, where they're less heterim, you can only push it off to the side, but you can't take it actually outside. Rav Amar, no. Hava Hava Chal Shemoi. They're both talking about Chalamoi. So what's the difference? V'hachik Amar. Im Naser Chatzer Kirefes Motina Sol Ashba. In other words, Estam Chatzer, if you have some the animal waste in your Chatzer, move it to the side. But if it gets so overwhelming, it's like a refus, like a barn, where there's so much tzoa, then you even have to take it out to the ashba. When the chatzer turns into a refus, that's the heter to take it outside to the ashba. And now finally, the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah, Molichin Kalim Mavin Mebesa Uman, that you're allowed to bring Kalim to the workshop, and you could take them home as well. So Amar a papa says, Badiklan Rava tested them based on the following Mishnah. So the Mishnah says, Tanan, Molichin Umevin Kalim Mibesa Uman. You could bring things to and bring things from the Beis Uman. Afa Pish Eino Tzarach Lamoid, even though you don't really need it. That's what the Mishnah says. That's our Mishnah here in Daf Nunhei. But Reminu, we have another Brisa that says, Ein Mevin Kalim Mibesa Uman. You're not allowed to bring Kalim to the Beis Uman. Vim Chaoshesh Lehen Shema Yiknevu. If you're concerned, he might steal it. Mipnei Lecha Mifanin Lechatzer Acheres. You could move it to another Chatzer. The difference is our Mishnah is talking about Erev Pesach, Yudal, which are the more heterim, that you could bring Kalim to and bring Kalim back. This second price that we brought, where you're not allowed to, Ein Mavin Kalim, is not talking about Erev Pesach, it's talking about Chol Moed, where you're not allowed to bring Kalim to Erev, to the Beis Uman on Chol Moed. So that's the difference, Yudal versus Chol Moed. The Gemara is now going to make another suggestion, but the Gemara in the end is going to reject this last suggestion, Ebais Ema, Havaha, B'chol Shemoi. Maybe both cases are Chol Shemoi. That one case is talking about you can bring, and one case is saying you can't bring. What's the difference? So the Gemara says, Ebais Ema, Havaha, B'chol Shemoi. But Lokasha, Kan B'mamino, One's where you trust the guy, one's where you don't trust the guy. Okay, so what does that mean? Where you trust the guy, you could bring this stuff to him. When you don't trust the guy, you could take the stuff home. But Hatanya, this Hatanya is not a question. It's a binichusa, says Rashi. It's a raya that there's a chilik between mamino versus ein mamino. Hatanya, mivin, kelim, mebeis uman. You could bring things back from the house of the uman. Could go now, just focus right now. It's only talking about mivin. This price is not addressing molichin. That's going to be the question at the end. What about molichin? But it's focusing on mivin. So Bryce says, right now we think it's a raya. Vatanya, mivin, kalim, mibesa, uman. You're allowed to bring kalim home from the workshop. Kagon hakad, mibesa, kadar, vakos, mibesa, zagag, a pitcher or a glass from these different workshops. The reason why you're allowed to bring them home on Chol HaMoed, says Rashi, is because you need them for the Moed. You need the glass, you need the pitcher for Chol HaMoed. That's the heter. But to bring wool from the place that was being dyed or other kelim that were not needed for the moed, that there's no heter to bring. The im ein lo ma yochal, if the workman has nothing to eat, he needs money, so no sin lo schari, should pay him for his work, but manicho etzel, but leave it with him. Right? You don't need the item. You put in something, you put in a project to have a new car fix, let's say, a car, okay? So now you don't need the car in Chol HaMoed, it's not needed for you, but the guy needs money, he needs to put food on his table, so you could pay the guy the few thousand dollars for the car, but don't take the car, leave the car in the shop just to give him the money. That would be the heter to pay for it. If you don't trust the worker, then manichan bebeis hasamich lo, you could take it to a house nearby, but not to your house. If you're concerned that someone might steal it from the house nearby, you could kind of sneak it into your house just to avoid it from getting stolen. Either way, we see from here, there's a chilik between mamino, vein mamino. So we could say, the braisa that says you're allowed to bring them home is where you didn't believe him. The braisa says the ein mavin is where you did trust him, that's why you were not allowed to bring him home. Gemara says, great, tartsas, you answered mavin, when you could bring it, when you can't bring it. But molichin kasha, what about molichin? Why would you ever be allowed to bring it? If the whole distinction is based on trusting and not trusting, so molichin wouldn't be a heter. That's not an issue of trust. You can't schlep kalim to have it worked on. So again, the katani ein mevin, v'koshkein dein molichin. So ela, mechavis or kedashina meikar. We're going to go back, revert back to the initial answer, that the chiluk is one between yudalad versus chalamor. Let's quickly recap what we did. Summarize, we start by saying there's a machlokas about whether or not you could do work on Tisha B'Av or not. And that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says you can, every person should make himself to be a Talmid Chacham. And he was not considered with Yehura. We thought, what about the Chassan by Kriyashma? What about him? Where we say a Chassan can say Kriyashma the first night or cannot. That's also Yehura. So we had that two different discussions, lining them up together, or we said Mukhlef as Ashita. Then the Mishnah said about doing work Erev Pesach, about being a Minag versus being an Isser, the Machlok is at Belaila, Beisil, Beishamai. And then we discussed this in the context of Rabbi Yehuda Shita of the 14th, doing work on the 14th, that being Menachesh on the 14th, having 3 days to do it. And we had a few different answers how to deal with it, why, although in general you can do Melacha on the 14th according to Yehuda, but by Menachesh you were not allowed because you needed 3 days to get it done before it took root, before the Karban Omer. Then the Mishnah on the bottom spoke about certain Melachas that if you started the process before and you're allowed to finish the project, Erev Pesach, Lashit Yisrael Meir, and then the three different jobs that can be done on Erev Pesach, which was the Chayatin, the tailor, the barber, and the launder, and we also even added the Ratzanim. And then we had a discussion of a few different prices, is this Letzarach Moed versus Shelo Letzarach Moed? And then the Mishnah, the Gemara at the end, explained why is there a heter to do these three jobs of tailors, launders, and barbers. That's because if there's a heter in Chol HaMoed, there's certainly going to be a heter on Erev Pesach, and then the connection to the Ole Regalim and the fixing of the shoes. And then the Mishnah spoke about setting up the hens on top of the eggs, starting the process, returning the hens back, and then the second part was sweeping away the waste in the barns, and the third piece was about bringing back the kelim to the Beis HaUman. Okay, everyone have a wonderful Shabbos.